Tonight, we're going to be in Psalm 100. So as you start turning there, go to the center of your Bible, split in the middle, pretty easy to find the book of Psalms, and go to Psalm 100. And it's a short one tonight. It's only five verses, but it's packed, I'll tell you. Five verses, it's packed. Since it is so short, we'll be serving communion at the end. We'll be sharing our feast, our Thanksgiving feast at the end. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into His Word. So, Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful every day to be able to come to You, to learn from You, Father, to sit at Your feet, Lord. Just brings a smile to my face, just the opportunity to be with my brothers and my sisters and to be sharing Your words. So, Father, but we do need Your help. We need You to be our teacher tonight. So lead us, guide us through Your word, and we ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So Psalm 100, again, five verses. Let's read the whole thing, and then we'll take it apart a bit. Psalm 100 says, "A psalm of thanksgiving," appropriate, "make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Yeah. "Now that know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Amen? Amen. Man, beautiful psalm, right? It's short. It's one of those that's easy to memorize. In fact, any of you memorize that growing up? It was one that I kind of memorized, Psalm 100, growing up. Ask me if I can do it all now. It's sad. You know, you get old, you forget things, but that's okay. That's where the Lord has you. So now let's take a look at it. Now notice how before even the psalm begins, there's what's called a subscript there. It's telling us what kind of psalm this is. And the psalmist writes, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. So Psalm 100 is literally a song of thanksgiving. And this is also the only psalm in the whole Bible, in all of the psalmistry, that gives us this title, that it is a psalm of thanksgiving. In the Greek word for thanksgiving, you might know it. It's where we get the word Eucharist from. And you know what the Eucharist is, right? Right? Come on, you guys know what the Eucharist is. It's the Lord's Supper, okay? And it's Eucharistos, Eucharistos. It's where we, that whole idea of giving thanks at the Lord's table for what He has done for us. So we're giving thanks to Him whenever we partake in the Lord's Supper for what He has done for us on the cross. In Hebrew, though, in the original language, the word giving thanks is very similar. It's the word toda. Let's try that. Toda. Toda. It's like your toe. Da. Toda. Toda. And it means giving thanks or thanksgiving. And the word toda, though, has a very deep meaning in Hebrew. It isn't just the giving of thanks that you give when a person buys you a cup of coffee. You say, "Hey, thanks for coffee today," or "Thanks for the meal you bought me." You know, it isn't that type of thanks, or "Thanks for keeping my place in the line at Disneyland," right? But it's a thanks, rather, that you give a doctor that just performed maybe open-heart surgery on your son or daughter. Man, it's that deep, heartfelt thanks that you give them from the depth of your heart. That it's almost a thanks that's impossible to express in words. It's a gratefulness. See, toda Literally, it means an extension of the hands. It's not this. It's not, ta-da, look what I've done. But it's rather, when you give thanks to God, it's Torah. And even though someone thanks you, we give it back to God. We say, Torah. Because we know that we had nothing to do with what God did for us. We had nothing to do with the gifts that God has given us. We had nothing to do with the blessings that were put upon our lives. It's giving it back to God. It's Torah. It's knowing that none of this thanks in life really belongs to us, but to our Heavenly Father. See, we are God's creation. Amen? And I'll tell you, we're an amazing creation. It required an intelligent designer to make us, not from some ooze and goo, primordial ooze that we were made from. No, it required an intelligent designer to make it, to make us. So it's Torah. It's, man, it's everything that we are and everything that we have that it will ever belong to God. And since it's all His, therefore, all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, the thanks that are given even to us, man, it really belongs to God, our Creator and our Heavenly Father. Get the idea? Torah. It's, man, it's a great word. But unfortunately, just like you say thank you, oh, you open the door for someone, you say thank you. It can become second habit. It's like the Hebrew word shalom. You know, that's a very special word to the Hebrew people. Do you know what shalom means? Peace. It means peace be with you. And it's a greeting when you greet each other. Well, they turned it into the more shaloms you say, I guess the holier you are. So you say shalom, shalom. Oh, no, no, no. Shalom, 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 shalom. No, no. It's shalom, 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 shalom. You get the idea, right? Right, right. So instead of really saying, the peace of God be with you, shalom, that's what it means from the heart. They turn it into a something that's every day. It almost becomes a competition. Well, this Torah is the same way. That thank you can be taken in a different way. It can just be, yeah, thanks, God, for what you did today. Thanks for the food. Yeah, I get it. You created it. You gave it for me. I'm supposed to say this blessing before my meal. Torah. Thanks, God. But see, the heart of the message is, man, Torah. It's something that's deep within you. It's a thanksgiving, knowing that we wouldn't even have the shirt on our back, the breath that we breathe, the blood that's flowing through our veins, or the children and the friends we have without God. So this is a song of Torah. Verse 1 again, a psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. So the psalmist, possibly King David, says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. This joyful shout might be compared to call it a trumpet blast that suddenly gets everybody's attention, announcing the coming of a king. They might shout what? Like, long live the king. Here he comes. The people cried out at Jesus' triumphal entry to Jerusalem. What? What did they cry out? Hosanna! Yeah, they went, Hosanna! Hosanna, which means, come on, it's praise. It means save us. Hosanna, save us. Praise God. It's meant to declare the praises of God. Think of how the thousands of people cried out for a moment at the Dodgers as they won the World Series, right? Man, they were out there screaming at the top of their lungs. The psalmist says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, like that. Like you're enthralled, excited about it. And it's to all you lands. So our shouts of praise for God should always be on our lips. Wherever we go, whatever coffee shop we're in, whatever supermarket we're in, man, we should be singing the praises of God. And this notice is also an invitation to joyfully shout to the Lord. That invitation is extended to the whole world. It's all you lands, believers and unbelievers alike. Shout to the Lord, all you lands. Bring him praise. Because I'll tell you, as these people start seeing you praise God, you know what? They're going to start praising God. They're going to say, why is he praising God? Why is he getting all these blessings in his life? And they're going to ponder and start seeking God to see what that's all about. See, when we shout joyfully to the Lord, everyone hears. They see, and they see our experiences, the blessings that God has given us, and it makes them ask that question, who is this God that is blessing them? See, being joyful is also like seeing someone with a smile on their face. You ever see someone with a smile on their face? And just from looking at them, man, it makes you smile, right? How about a laugh? You know, you ever get caught laughing? You they just kind of start laughing in front of you. It's like there's this joke going on and you walk into the group and everybody's laughing. And pretty soon you find yourself laughing also. See, the idea is being joyful, it's contagious. And it encourages all you lands to find their joy in the Lord. But being joyful, it's also a commandment in Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. We can rejoice in all situations, in all circumstances in our life, because God, he is always sovereign. And God is always in full control of every situation in our life. And this knowledge about God and his sovereign will being accomplished on earth, it allows us to shout joyfully to the Lord. We shout joyfully to the Lord because he is our creator, amen? We shout joyfully to the Lord because he is our provider of everything we need. We shout joyfully to the Lord because he is our protector. We shout joyfully to the Lord because he is our healer, healer of our hearts when they're broken, healer of our physical bodies when they need healing. And we shout joyfully to the Lord because he alone is the one that can save us. But see, God isn't happy with just saving us. God wants all the lands of the world to know him. That's another reason why he gives us this joy that just fills our heart and overflows into the world. Verse 2, the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. In fact, come before his presence with singing. Aha, we'll get to that. So, how do we serve the Lord with gladness, you might ask? Well, serving the Lord with gladness, I'll tell you, doesn't always come naturally. For some people, it seems like it does. At least they put on a good facade. But I'll tell you, sometimes it's hard to serve. Sometimes we don't want to go to work, right? Amen? Yeah? Sometimes you're just tired. You're overworked. You're overburdened. You have your school life here, and then you have your family life here with all your kids and all the needs that they have. Then you have your fun activities, the things you like to do kind of for recreation or playing video games or reading or whatever activity you like you do. And then you can kind of feel torn between these activities and, man, or feel like I can't take another straw on the camel's back. gets to be too much. See, serving the Lord is the same way. How many of you have worked in the children's ministry? Yeah, I know a few of you. Yep. I'll tell you, and there's an extra blessing, I'll tell you, that comes with working with young kids. Can I just say, having raised five of my own, number 15 grandkid on the way, they are exhausting. I mean, it's hard to raise kids. Man, because you know what? They're going to be kids when you're tired. They're going to be kids when you're sick, you know, and all you want to do is rest. You want to get your cup of noodles out and with a few crackers and just want to cozy up in a warm blanket. But no, they still have to go to school. You still have to run them around to all their soccer practices and baseball practices and football games. And you know what? They expect you to be there for them. Not just half-heartedly be there. They want you to be there all the time with all our whole heart. You know, serving God, it's kind of like starting any new job. It can be fun, exciting. There's new people to meet. Yeah, new activities to learn. There might even be a new challenge for you to overcome and something for you to learn. But have you found this to be true, that new jobs, workplaces, and services to others can be interesting at the beginning, but then what happens? The newness wears off. You go, do you know how many donuts I cut in 2 years for Yum Yum Donuts? I worked there for 2 years before I got my job as a machinist. I mean, I cut a lot of donuts between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. every day. Sometimes I'd even go back when the boss would call me in to do an afternoon bake. Man, donut after donut, same thing. At first, it's a challenge. You know, I remember begging the owner for the job. I went into Yum Yum's, it's walkable distance to my house, and I said, man, I really want this job because, kid, go to college. You don't want to cut donuts for your life. I said, yeah, but you're around the house. You know, I mean, he offered me a whole whopping $1.85 an hour. I mean, how could I turn that down, right? I mean, that was more money than I could make in, I don't know, a month or something. I don't know, in those days, in the 70s. But reality is, okay, you get through the first week, the first month. I'll tell you, the first 3 months, year, pretty soon, man, you're just, there's no fun. There's no joy there anymore. You're flipping donuts. And not only that, but during the night bake, they expect the night baker to go out front and to actually get, you know, do the register, to do coffee and stuff, because you were the only one there covering the night bake. It was crazy. But see, serving the Lord with gladness, too, it isn't always easy. We're called to serve the Lord with gladness even when we don't feel it. Even when the people that we serve, man, some days they just have bad days. Anyone ever have a bad day? When you're a little bit more cranky than when you don't have that peace of the Lord in your heart? Yeah, do you realize someone had to put up with you that day? Yep. I mean, hey, God bless those people in our lives, like my wife and my friends that have had to put up with me. But yeah, we've all had those. But in ministry, we understand that. So how can we serve the Lord with gladness in these times? Well, three ways, but there's a lot more that you can think of. First thing, we need to be practicing gratitude. That is, just like we teach our children how to maybe play baseball or play soccer or play a musical instrument, practicing gratitude is like learning this type of a trade or an instrument. See, serving the Lord with gladness, it really takes practice. We have to not give in to those thoughts of discouragement when people let us down. maybe kind of like someone not showing up at your workplace, right? And now you have to do not only your work, but their work. That ever happened to you? Yeah? Yeah, I know we've all been there. Well, ministry is the same way. When you're serving God, sometime things happen in life. They don't show up. And what you do is, man, all those things where the enemy wants to come in, and man, he wants to pull you out of ministry and say, hey, this isn't how a Christian should live. This isn't how you should be. No, no, no. We have to remember who we're serving. We're serving God. We aren't serving just the people, not just the church, but we're serving God. So we need to be practicing this attitude of gratitude in our lives. But also, we need to be obedient to the area that God has called us to serve. In other words, don't give up. Don't just quit when things get tough. But man, God, he'll make us stronger. He'll encourage us and help us mature during those times. Maybe he'll even give us more of a compassionate heart to deal with those people that are having a bad day. Number two, and Ira gave a hint to it, number two is to remember who you are serving. Yeah, I mean, remember, everything that the Lord has done for you, just think about it for a moment. Remember everything that the Lord has done for you. Isn't it just a natural response then to serve him with gladness? In other words, don't be a grumpy giver, you know? I mean, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Because our Lord, man, he's just so very worthy. And he pours out his blessings after blessings on those that serve him. All the richest blessings, I'll tell you, I have ever received in my life, the richest blessings have come from serving the Lord with gladness. So keep practicing gratitude. Remember who God is. Yep, as we come up here. Yeah, well, and you remember how to get back to where you were. Yeah, you know, iPads, they're kind of cool that way, but man, you hit the wrong little spot and it just jumps all the way around. So keep practicing gratitude. Remember who you are serving. And finally, well, you get it from the second part of this verse. Come before his presence with singing. So sing to the Lord. You may not feel like you have a singing voice, but our Lord, man, he wants to hear you sing. He just does. It's all over Scripture. Shout to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. Literally, this means whenever you come into God's presence in private prayer, in public worship at Refuge, and yes, also maybe in the shower when you're talking with the Lord and praying with him, you know what? Come before his presence with singing. Singing in this passage in Hebrew is a word called reinana. Na, 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 na. So this is reinana, reinana. And that means a ringing cry, something that just rings true, that's bright and ringing. It's not necessarily a melodious sound, but rather a shout for joy. So three ways to serve the Lord with gladness. Keep practicing on your heart of gratitude. Remember who you are serving and come before his presence with singing. And I promise you, the more you practice gratitude, the more thankful you will suddenly become. And the more thankful you become, the more you will remember naturally who you are serving. And suddenly the more glad you will be as God starts using you more. And the more that God uses you, the more you will be able to come before his presence with singing. And I'll tell you, nothing will make your heart sing more than knowing the things we do for God will have an eternal impact on the friends and the family that we know and that we love. Making an eternal impact for God's kingdom is everything. It's greater than any soccer match or trophy we could earn or singing on a stage. Man, the things we do for God are eternal. Verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is good. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So, know that the Lord, He is God. He is the Lord, right? And I am not. You know, I didn't learn that, believe it or not. You know, I used to think, like, right out of high school that I could run my own way. You know, I was saved at 17, and I was still in high school, got out, and man, I thought I could run my own life. Well, where did that get me? Well, it got me into a lot of trouble, a lot of bad people, a lot of drugs, a lot of smoking pot, going down a lot of bad roads that, thank God, He kept me safe through all those things. But the first thing we know, have to know that the Lord, He is God. He is the Lord and I am not. He is the creator of the universe, the one who holds all things together with the power of His word. And the word to know the Lord, right there, it means to know Him intimately, to know Him personally, to talk to Him daily, to walk with Him like a friend walks with a friend, to have a cup of coffee with Him, to have a real conversation, open conversation, transparent conversation where, man, my life is an open book with God. He already knows everything. There's no reason to keep anything from Him, but share the struggles you have with Him, but also share the joy you have with Him. Share your hopes and your dreams with Him, because God knows those desires of our heart. And man, according to His will, He will fulfill those. See, God doesn't just want us to know information about Him, but God wants a close, personal relationship with each of His children. See, God knows everything about us. He wants to share His life with us, His wisdom, right? Don't you need a little bit more godly wisdom in our lives? Yeah? How about a little bit more godly strength, man, when we're just losing it? We go, Lord, I don't have the strength to talk to my kids anymore. You know, I'm struggling with that in my life, saying, you know what, I've tried everything I know how to do. I've said the words from Your word, and Lord, I don't know what to do next. Well, that's okay. We lean into His strength, His wisdom, but also God's timing for Him to fulfill His will on earth. God's timing to fulfill His will is not always our timing. I want the quick fix, right? How many of you want the quick fix with your finances? Yeah, with your bills paid, with that health issue we're going through. But that isn't the way God works. See, God knows how hard it is, though, to navigate this world. That's why He doesn't ever ask us to walk alone, but rather walk beside Him. In fact, if we let Him, God will clear the path before us. Deuteronomy 31 says, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Especially in those times when things get hard, and it's always good to know that, it's always good to know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we not of ourselves. See, God has made everything out of nothing, right? Out of nothing, God made everything. Who does that? You know, even a builder needs wood to make a home, right? He can't suddenly go, poof, here's my wood, and poof, here's my cement. No, but God makes everything out of nothing. Sometimes you may ask the question, though, how can God use me? Some days, you know, I'll tell you, I just feel useless, like a nothing. And yet, making something beautiful out of nothing, that's what God does. But remember, don't get too impatient for God to work on your life. It's always his timing, not ours. In fact, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything. Not some things beautiful, but God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, God has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work of God does from the beginning to the end. In other words, no one knows God's timing. So isn't it always good to know, especially when times get hard, that know that the Lord, he is God. In other words, he's sovereign, he's control. And isn't it good to know that it is he who had made us and not we ourselves? See, God has a plan and purpose for your life when he created you. He made us, we belong to him. In fact, we are his people, it says, and the sheep of his pasture. And just as a shepherd cares for his sheep, so the Lord, man, he's our good shepherd, leading us into those green pastures and lives, protecting us from also the storms of life, showing us what caves that we should be hiding in as these defenseless sheep. He also protects us from those wolves that would want to try and consume us. But we must first acknowledge that he is our God, and I am not. And we belong to him. Aren't you thankful for having such a good shepherd in your life? Yeah, doesn't it just make you want to shout for joy? I'll tell you, when we understand how good our Heavenly Father is, makes us want to shout, makes us want to sing, knowing who the Lord is and knowing that we belong to him gives us a plan, gives us a perfect purpose, gives us a desire that we want to please God. Therefore, the psalmist says in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving. These gates that are spoken of here were the gates to the temple in Jerusalem. The idea is whenever and wherever you come to meet God in your temple, wherever you go to meet him, be thankful sheep. Bah! Right? Be thankful that he is our good shepherd. We are the sheep. He protects us. Wherever you meet with God, come through his gates with thanksgiving. So be thankful for the green pastures that he has provided. Be thankful for the protection from the harsh sun's rays. Be thankful for those cool running waters that you get every now and then. The still streams and the peaceful meadows that he gives to refresh us. And also be thankful for his constant watchful gaze that keeps us out of harm's way. So the idea is whenever you meet with God, which is hopefully all the time, right? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So this passage really speaks about a wholehearted praise, not a half-hearted thank you. It isn't, oh, by the way, thanks God. Kind of like someone gives you a Christmas gift, another fruitcake that is 14 years old. Oh, thanks for the fruitcake again. Yeah, I gave it to you last year. You're going to get it next year. You know, we pass it back and forth. We have a family member that We kind of do that as a joke every year, right? It was from my mom and dad. To give you an idea, my mom passed away in 1999, and we've been doing it from before then. So, I mean, it's going around a long time, but it's, oh, yeah, the fruitcake. So now we get to joke about it, but we have those half-hearted, thanks. Yep. Oh, you painted my house. Ah, purple. Wow. Thanks. Ooh. Yeah. The kids try and do that, right? I've had them do that. You know, they have their paints outside or their chalk. They like their chalk. And instead of the chalk on the ground isn't enough on the driveway. You know, that washes right off. Well, have you ever seen it on stucco? Yeah, it doesn't work as good on, come off as good as stucco. How about on a metal, aluminum metal garage door? Yeah. Do you realize it scratches it? Yeah. And it kind of etches it. Yeah. Good times. Thank you, kids. Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, that's not how we're supposed to thank God. Our thanks to God are supposed to be wholehearted praise, not half-hearted thank yous. So this last verse answers the why we are to be constantly giving God thanks. Verse 5. Simply, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So why do we give God all of our thanks and praise? Because God is good. God is good all the time, right? And all the time, God is good, right? When the psalm was written, the gods of this age, they were seldom good. In fact, temple worship of Zeus, Athena, Diana, Artemis, and many others required a significant amount of financial and even moral sacrifice. Men would commit adultery with temple prostitutes, and these false gods, they offered nothing in exchange for their allegiance, and yet mankind were foolish enough to worship them. Because in their hearts, they knew that they had to be worshiping something. See, God has placed eternity in our hearts. In our hearts, we know we need to be worshipers. We know that. But we have a tendency as humans to worship the wrong things. I can worship my job, can I? I can worship my wife. I can worship my activities, my sporting team. I can worship a game that I play. I can put all these things before my relationship with God. See, mankind, we're built innately to be worshipers. And yet these false gods, man, even the ones that we make, they only consumed those who worship them. In fact, I've been kind of always, since my kids were small, a big video gamer, right? Xbox, Nintendo, all of it, World of Warcraft, played all the games. And I'll tell you, they will consume you. I mean, I would work 50 hours during the week, go home, and then on a Friday night, stay up all night through Saturday morning with our clan or guild. And you know what? Trying to do some of the raids. But I found that was consuming my life. It had become a god in my life. And God convicted me of that. And I go, okay, Lord, you want me to let that go? Okay, here you go, Lord. It's all yours. In fact, some of these false idols also consumed those that worshiped them. Other gods like Moloch required actually human sacrifices. And these gods, see, they had no eyes. They had no ears, no mouths to speak. These false gods were, in fact, were mute to those who worshiped them. But our God, he is listening. He is responsive all the time. He seeks us to grow in knowledge of him, to grow, mature, to protect others. He loves to provide for us, and he loves to guide his children. But when they sin against him, though, God's mercy, we find, is everlasting. Because we do sin, don't we? Yeah. We fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Paul tells us. But God will never run short on his mercies towards us. It is as eternal as he is. And his truth, it endures for all generations. In fact, the truth of God's word not only speaks truth, wisdom, and direction into our hearts, but God's truth, they're timeless. They're still practical today like they were 2,000 years ago to every generation. You might even say that God's word has stood the test of time and the scrutiny of unbelievers. In fact, there's been many former atheist scientists that have become true believers after they have discovered the truth of God's word and the intelligent design formed in all of God's creation. So, bottom line, how do we thank God? With a joyful shout. How do we serve the Lord? Look at the passage, with gladness. And we practice that gladness every day, man, when we serve him. So the idea is smile. Laugh a bit more in the Lord, because being grateful, it's contagious. And how are we supposed to come before the Lord? Man, with singing, with joy. So always keep that joyful song of God in your heart as we enter his gates with thanksgiving, because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen? Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. And as we start preparing our hearts for sharing your feast tonight, for sharing the, Lord, just a communion with the body of Christ and stepping before your presence, Lord, we just ask you to prepare our hearts, because, man, our minds can just go into 1,000 different directions. But, Father, work in us, work through us. And, Father, help the joy of our hearts to become overflowing so that we might touch this world. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So, tonight, everyone have a communion cup? Anyone else need one? They're coming around. We've got one. What I'd like you to do is, in your mind, you don't have to share them with anybody, but I'd like you to think of three things that come to your mind first of why you are thankful. Think of three different ways you are thankful. Close your eyes for a moment, would you? Three different ways you're thankful today. Could be family, job, provision, healing. Could be that you're here tonight. Could be that, man, you're just so thankful to be saved by the blood of Christ. Oh. Could be that you found the love of your life and been married with them now for 40 years and yet they've put up with all your failings. And man, you're just so thankful for that. Might be thankful for your kids, the blessings that God has bestowed on a family, walking together as a family, building up the new body of Christ, the new leaders. Could be a place of work. That, Lord, you've given me a place to work at all these years, and I never had to go looking, but Father, you provided it. Or might be a new adventure that God's taken you on to serve someplace that's outside your comfort zone, that God asks you to step out in faith and serve Him. You're thankful for that opportunity. Let's remember first what Christ did for us. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." So as we peel back this tab, if you haven't already, peel back the tab. And by the way, if any of you are struggling with that, sometimes if you wiggle, jiggle your finger over the top, it will kind of get it moving. But let's take that little piece of bread. Let's place it into our mouth slowly. Instead of just gulping it down, let's chew it. And let's really think about those three things that we are thankful for. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." But specifically, let's now remember that it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin, that it is his work on the cross that is sufficient for our lives. There's nothing that we can add to it, but there's also nothing that we can take away from it as we put our faith in him. Let us partake. So, Heavenly Father, as we walk into this Thanksgiving season, Father, we are thankful the most, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, for stepping out into a world that's broken, and Father, providing that healing salve that each of us need to mend the wounds of our lives that sin has provided. So, Father, I just ask a blessing on all of us this Thanksgiving. Lord, may your Spirit, Lord, just invade every family that we touch this Thanksgiving. Father, may you be the core of our being, the center of our conversations. Father, may more people come to faith on Friday because of us speaking on Thursday that didn't know you. Father, give us boldness, give us the words to speak, give us love and patience and perseverance, Lord, if that's what it needs. And Father, we put all of our strength in you because we know you are the one that saves. We cannot save. You are the one. You are the Savior. You are the Lord of the universe, the creator of all things. And Lord, we just ask for you to create in us that spark, Lord, that, Lord, you might fill us with your Spirit, and Lord, that you might, Lord, just fill us with that attitude of gratitude, that as we go into these places, wherever Thanksgiving takes us, that, Father, people would look at us and ask, "Why? What is this God that's giving them all these blessings?" And we might share that gospel message with them. So, Father, lead us this week. Guide us in your ways. Give us wisdom beyond all measure. And Father, may your work and your will be done. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.